Good evening, all. Welcome to the Wide World of Wargaming Warhammer 40,000 segment. As always, I am your host, Mr. Vincent Borgato. Joining me in studio, as they might say, friend and colleague Alexander Gonzalez.
How you guys doing tonight?
And from his faraway location, I think in like Marin, right? Michael Schwartz.
Oh man, I wish. Yes, how's it going, everyone?
So, we did have a bit of an exciting weekend. As many do know, the Bay Area opened, the legacy event, the foundational event, one could say, of frontline gaming and the ITC itself occurred over the weekend. Both AOS and 40K were involved, as, of course, you did notice from our friends on our previous segment. But we are here to focus on the 40K segment, 40K tournament won by our good friend, Mr. Jeff Robinson.
Yeah, he had a great showing. He had a really unique list. It was really great to see another Imperial Soup army that didn't have a castle in it. In fact, he went so far away from what we would normally consider to be "quote unquote" the best and greatest type of units. He in fact went with very uncommon units, as he had several of the Forge World Custodes at his disposal.
The brand new, we're going to try to pronounce this correct, Caladius heavy grav tanks, which we talked about with our good friend Jeremy, with the accelerator cannons that basically we watched delete vehicle armies en masse over the course of the weekend. But we do just want to congratulate Jeff on, I believe, winning his first ever major, is the way I understand it. Forever the bridesmaid, but however, he has escaped the Butler Hall of Shame. Congratulations, Mr. Robinson.
Way to go!
You know, it's funny because his list is not only is his list, he also explains in his own words some of the specifics. Like, you know, the fact that he has Trajan, the character HQ for Custodes, but the model is Constantine Baldor. They just happen to have similar status. So he just explains that to you. After he tells you his units breakdown, he even tells you it's 4 CP, but -2 for the Assassin Stratagem, -1 for Emperor's Wrath. And then he also talks about how he's going to be running certain warlord trades or potentially utilizing other extra relic stratagems depending on the game.
Yeah. And
two of the more famous support detachments, one could say, for an Imperial list, the Loyal 32 Imperial Guard. And what are they calling
it? Hold on. That's not the Loyal 32. That is 100%.
Plus a Basilisk and a Wyvern. My bad.
It's a Catechin Emperor's Wrath. And I honestly think this is the bread and butter of his list. Because not only is it...
Oh, no. It's the Custodes. I'm sorry. You're wrong. It's the Custodes.
Okay, hold on. It's the Wyvern and the Basilisk. Those are pretty good bases. When you pair everything up. But, you know, he also had the Rusty 18 with him, right?
Yeah, I was going to say the other one being the now infamous Rusty 18. With the double engine seer, 3x5 rangers. He even got a kill on a dreadnought with the transuranic archivist, which I have actually never seen
before. Well, good job for that one, because oof.
Yeah, that squad of rangers paid for itself several times over. But I just wanted to say that, you know, this is the continuation of the Emperor's Wrath being the best thing to come out of Vigilance for Imperial Guard by a long shot.
A mile.
Far and away.
And I just want to ask again, who called that?
Well, many people, but good job, Vince. Good job.
On this show, who pointed that
you
out,
did.
By the way?
You did. And we all agreed with you.
I'm not saying I like to beat my chest like King Kong, but I like to beat my chest like
okay,
King Kong.
Good job. Good job.
But the other thing that I saw that jumped out of Jeff's list was the, I think it's the Magnifica, I want to say it's the Magnifica banner that he ran on his, I don't know how to say that word. I think it's Vexillaris, if you go with the old Roman. That essentially gives an additional -1 to hit to everything within 6 inches?
Confirming in 5 seconds.
Diving deep into the depths of battle stride.
Your opponent must subtract 1 from hit rolls in the shooting phase for attacks that target Adeptus Codex units within 6 inches of a friendly Vexillus Praetor Taurus. Correct. 6 inches. Not wholly within.
That is fantastic. You know, being able to make sure that you can prevent, like, you know, instant nuking of his units is very important, especially since it doesn't just say, like, infantry only. You know, I fought against, and we talked about it in a previous episode, you know, I fought against Jeremy's, our good friend Jeremy Vessier's fully Forge World Custodes army, or 90% Forge World Custodes army, and I fought against these Calidus Grav tanks. I haven't fought against the Telmeron, but we have taken a look at it very closely before. And, you know, the vehicles hit like a brick shit house with range support and mobility, but they are actually the easiest things to kill in that custode's detachment, because sure, they have the 6-up fill no pain and they have a 5-up invul rather than a 4-up invul, but they still, they start at a 3-up armor. They don't start at a 2-up like the custode's infantry. So it's great to see that not only does he have these fantastic support systems with the 2 Calidus and Telmeron, but he also has the Aquilon Terminators, the Fex, and Constantine, which may not be very models, may just be 4 models, but or 5 models rather, but they are very hard to kill. It's essentially trying to kill 3 shield captains or 5 shield captains all at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's super beefy, and I really like the fact that the Magnifica is going to be providing that extra -1 to hit buffer for wherever he needs it, whether it be on the Telamon or the Caladius. It's a very efficient gun line. For those who don't know the stats on the Telamon, we can quickly cover it as it is. I had it for a second. No! Here we go. For people who don't know, it's packing 2 Arcticus Storm Cannons, which are range 2 different versions. One's a beam version, range 72, heavy 2, strength 9, AP 4, damage 3, and it's 4 shots of those. Or it's going to be heavy 6, so 12 shots total, strength 7, -2 AP, 1 damage each. So it is punishing amounts of shooting. Also, you know, hitting on 2s, because they are custodes. And for the heavy 2, the strength 9 version, when resolving an attack made with this weapon against a vehicle unit, you can reroll the wound. So that is strength 9, AP 4, 3 damage, 4 of those shots on hitting on 2s, rerolling to wound, most likely wounding you on 3s, rerollable. It is punishing. It is really punishing.
Remind us, Schwartz, that's on a T8, 14 wound, 2-up, 5-save model, correct?
T8, 14 wounds, 2-up, 5-up, 6-up, feel no pain. And because the way the Magnifica is rolling, wording is, it's also -1 to hit, most likely, because it's a custodes model. It's got it all. And it's a little pricey at 272, but if you can keep that hidden and then move it out, it is just punishing. Also, it comes with a Spectralis bolt launcher. It's cute, but it can fire twice, which is a little crazy. So that's a total of 10 shots, strength 5, -1 AP, 1 damage. So that's an additional, it's range only 24, but that's not bad for a 12-point upgrade.
No, you're talking about either really, really effective and clear, giving the Telamon the ability to help clear out hordes, or just do chip damage to polish off 1 or 2 wounds on a vehicle. It's kind of the 2 options.
Yeah, strength 5. Completely agree.
I'm gonna go for a minute, Schwartz. That's one of the interesting changes since 8th edition has changed how strength to wound interaction has been modified to where 5 essentially means that there's nothing you don't wound on 5s.
So it's beefy.
Instead of back in the day where I think shooting it, as soon as you were shooting a toughness 7, you'd be wounding on 6s. Yeah. Right? Because it usually reaches +1.
So it is very helpful. And I do also want to say, you know, there are a surprising number of critics out there. Some of them also have a vocal voice in certain communities on the internet for 40K. I want to tell them they're flat wrong taking a look at this list. You know, it's a competitive list at a competitive event from a competitive player who took units that he thought would be the most effective units at that point in time for that area, for the list that he thought he would have to see a matchup against. And it also just happens to be something you can, in fact, argue is fluffy for those people who are really actually that worried and are going to get their jimmies all rustled about, you know? I can name 20 different fucking Black Library books where you know, Master of Mankind itself has custodes, Blood Angel, IG, and an assassin in there somewhere, and custodes all and Admech all fighting together. So for those other individuals out there on the internet who are trying to criticize chess lists, I don't want to tell you guys you're full of shit.
All we're saying the name is really close to the word moron. Probably shouldn't have an opinion on 40K. But,
yes, sir.
I'm going to jump in here on this because Alex will confirm that for a long time, I was the sort of loser that complained about people bringing soup lists to competitive events. And eventually you grow, you should grow out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to realize that just because you are going to a tournament with a certain list to achieve a certain goal. You just have to realize that you bringing a whack list is not making you better. It just makes it harder.
Well, even that, I got to say, this is, you know, though this wasn't an incredibly effective list by a very good general, this is not what we would consider a whack list, at least not on face value, because it's a lot of units that people...
Well, no, I wasn't called... That's not what I meant. I didn't mean that Jeff's list is whack. I meant, like, people like me who used to bring pure IG when it was unequivocally bad. We're not any better, and we're not any superior as players for doing that. Like I had to let that hate go because hate led to a lot of fucking suffering.
Word. As it does. You know, taking a look at this, this is exactly what we also predicted when ITC did change their best in faction to be either pure best in faction or immediate going to
go straight to max competitive.
Or if the moment you had something else that wasn't just pure one faction in your list, you became that going for best of faction soup, you know, which I didn't mind because just as we had talked about and just as I had predicted as well, you know, those players who are top tier, your Jeff Robinsons, your Jim Vessels, your Brandon Grants, you know, they're not going to give a shit. They're just still going to build the list that they want to build, and they're going to do very well at them, and they're not going for best faction or whatever.
They're
here
to collect titles.
Yeah, they're here to get best general BAO. They're here to get best ITC 40K.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so it's not going to stop. I think that it's good because this also creates, this still does create that variety of players who are going for, you know, best IG, best custodes. And it doesn't compete with the people who are, say, two-thirds of the way of the table up heroes or mid-table heroes, or even those ones that's, you know, really shitty, those people going for all those really obscure factions that are just not really going to do so hot.
Oh, you mean the people that used to try to faction snipe by going for best Tempestus?
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
Or best assassins. Oh right. I tried that one.
Your list was the
but my list was hilarious. Only murdered by the sad advent of the limited three data sheets. But we have given Jeff. Let's jump over to the runner up. Who are they called? Who I believe they call the Night King. Is that what his nickname is online? Yeah. Is Jim Vassal?
Yeah, he he actually didn't bring a different list. He brought,
why would you?
Honestly, no. If it's not broken,
no, he didn't.
Well, I mean, I think he brought less nerdlings.
It's still the two horror units and the bloodletters. I can do this list by verbatim, and now why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He did have a three-man unit of nerdlings, but he's always been running those. So like we can quickly go through the list.
More nerdlings than yes play carriers. My bad.
Real quick, we really don't need to go through the list. We've gone over this list at least
four times.
At least four times. Jim's a great player. I did watch him, in person, just quietly looking over the game itself that was live streamed when he was playing against, I believe, his buddy, who was, I unfortunately don't remember his name. My apologies to him. The guy who did have at least three blue knights. It was really great to see three knights. I think two of them, or one of them was a crusader and two of them were gallants.
I believe his name was Junior.
Mixed up, but it was definitely a three knight list and some change versus
that's right.
Okay. Well, it was great to see, those 60 plank bearers push back against the tide that is three knights. So it was fun to watch for a moment.
Bears about the only thing that could survive a charge from that list.
Take a hit and kind of laugh it off.
Lost half of them, but
over the course of the game.
Well, no, I mean, even...
Yeah, that's true. They're freaking dark walls.
Because remember, Schwartz, they don't run. Like, that's the biggest thing that, you know, used to be... That's the thing that used to kill demons is dragged out. Was like they would lose, 15 models in combat and then lose another 12 from leadership tests. But they don't do that anymore. because fuck you, leadership doesn't matter to demons. But yeah, I mean, and the way we understand it, I'm afraid I missed that last game, but the way people tell the story, Jim kind of had Jeff on the ropes and then just kind of coughed it up.
I think it was, it looked like it was a very close game.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, I think that it really didn't really shine out as one clear winner until about turn three.
Okay.
You know, it's.
So it wasn't like a miracle comeback like Brandon knocking off Alex minus his knight from turn two.
It didn't, but it was still a really great. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was great to see both players go at each other.
Yeah, definitely.
They are smart players. They're talented players, and you know, it's great to actually see these two, you know, two sides of a very similar coin play each other rather than, you know, something that's very blatantly different. Kind of like what you sometimes see at LVO.
The next thing we want to look at is we hope one day friend of the show, but definitely man of renown. Don Houston, always a man to bring interesting lists, and he, of course, did not disappoint this time.
No, he did not.
Bringing a core Space Marine, Chaos Space Marine list.
Oh, yeah, baby.
An Airwing detachment of three Helldrakes, and then a Purge, I believe it's a Vanguard, two Lord Discordants, 1, 2, 3 Contender Dreadnoughts, and then another Vanguard of... A spearhead of another Lord Discordant and three Dorito Dreadnoughts. Dorito Dreadnoughts.
Yeah, we're just going to call him Dorito.
I'm going with Dorito. Oh, and by the way.
I mean, of course.
Then he brought another Lord Discordant with three more Dorito Dreadnoughts. Yeah, because, I mean, why bring six when you can bring nine?
No, it's only two.
That can't be right.
I mean, it's only three.
There's a double up here. He did not have six Dorito Dreadnoughts with identical gear because that would be illegal. I mean, this is kind of what I thought certain chaos lists would be just because you have the Lord Discordants able to buff all of the Contemptors and even the Helldrakes with the auto cannons. Plus you add, I believe the majority of these units, if not all of them, have the Demon Forge rule, allowing them to reroll hits and wounds for a certain phase of the game.
Yeah, there are Hellforge. They are it says Hellforge on their keywords. I'm looking them up all right now as we speak.
But I mean, yeah, like this is Dawn in a nutshell. The joke we were talking kind of in the Twitch live stream was, you may not know it's good, I might not know it's good, but if Dawn Houston brings it, there's something there.
Oh yeah, when the Lord Discordant broke, we all agreed that was like the new thing, that was the best thing that had come out for Chaos of the new Vigilus book, and it's making its presence felt right here because it's just so good at buffing everything. And like it's also good in close combat itself. It's a phenomenal model. It's got phenomenal rules, and it shows here. You're buffing the Helldrakes. You're buffing all the Dreadnoughts. Monster mash list, baby. I love it. Also, I can't imagine taking this through the airport security. By the way, I'm just like picturing the conversation with TSA right now. It's not going well.
Why are you bringing three things that look like plastic demons? Because I'm going to a model tournament.
Wait, real quick. Just taking a look at this list. Who was his warlord?
I don't see that listed, but I would assume it has to be one of the Lord Discordants.
Lord Discordant, because those were his only HQs. So got it. Well, I mean, it's really interesting because, you know, with the Purge, there is quite a bit that you can get out of them. You know, they do have this hilarious... they do have this hilarious stratagem called All Life is Worthless, and it's just one CP. And it does allow you to shoot at enemy units that are within an inch of friendly units until the end of the phase. However, each time you do resolve an unmodified hit roll of 1, you do resolve those attacks against a friendly unit within an inch of that unit that is being attacked.
And that's why you bring the Lord Discordant, because you can't actually get an unmodified 1 at that point, because it always goes to a 2 with the Lord Discordant.
Exactly. So you're almost always just hitting it. And then even then, if you are kind of risking it, you can just throw something like, you know, a Contender Dreadnought or a Helldrake in there.
Well, you throw the Helldrakes because they don't care. They're 157 points, but they also have a 3-5 up and something like, I think, over 14 wounds. So even if you hit them, a lot of times they're either going to walk it off or just, oh no, well, I mean, shot the least valuable unit in my own list. Oh dear.
As you notice, with the combo, it's going to happen very few and far between. And the Butcher Cannons array, is just a devastating piece of shooting for people who don't know. Range 36, heavy 8, strength 8, AP minus 1, damage 2, and he's packing. Let's count him. How many of these bad boys is he packing in the list?
He's counting between the dreadnoughts.
Well, you also got to remember that with this list, that stratagem that I just mentioned, all life is worthless, that's huge with Dorino Dreadnought, especially when you're bringing, you know, so many of them. And, you know, it's backed up by the Helldrakes. You know, taking a look, this really does help with target priority, especially since you can take a unit, you know, all of these units can relatively take a hit. You can definitely charge something in and hold a unit up and then just go at them, you know, fully forward here. And, you know, it also helps with some of the other aspects of this. You know, again, I'm not able to see who his general was, but Warlord, my bad. Different
we
game.
We don't have a hero phase in this
different
one.
Different game.
We don't have a hero phase.
However, you know, there's even a Warlord trait called Plus Admission, which allows him to reroll wound rolls for one of your Warlord weapons and allows him to reroll damage rolls he makes for his own weapons. So, you know, it's fantastic. And I think that it's super helpful, especially since, you know, each one of these Lord Discordants are very much forced to be reckoned with on the table. So, you know, his list is fast for the most part, besides the dreadnoughts, and it hits super hard. And you can't hide in combat. You can't tie a unit up and keep it safe.
What I like about this list is probably the way, based on the various speeds of the models, you're kind of getting hit in waves. So what happens, the way I saw him running against Jeff was he got the Helldrakes in basically, I believe it was top of 2. Discordants were halfway across the board, and the Doritos were kind of lumbering up behind him, holding objectives and such. And then by the time the Drakes were dead, the Lord Discordants were, you know, ready to charge on their next phase. So you get hit with the Helldrakes, they chew up a few units. In Jeff's case, actually lost one of the Caladiuses to a charge straight up from one of the Drakes. Like, amazing rolls. The thing just went rabble, and ripped it apart.
So it shot him up and then it charged him?
No, it just chewed it up, because it's only the Baleflamer doesn't do anything to a Caladius. It just got in close combat and tore the thing into tiny little pieces. Of course, what ended up happening was Jeff's Custodes came down like the hammer of the Emperor, literally, and killed all the Helldrake in one round of combat, because that's what Custodes do to things that are chaos. It's true. But I mean, when you're getting hit by strength 10, you know, 4 attack Custodes Terminators,
not much.
A whole lot tends to last very long. Yep. But I mean, this is one of the things to love about the community we have out here is you have a dude like Don who's famous for bringing outside the box shit. I mean, and here he was a round away from playing for the BAO title.
Losing
a game first game. Like Don was in the play-in games. And he ground his way up. A list that kind of goes, oh, infantry shooting. Oh, that's cute. It doesn't do anything to anything in my list.
In typical Don Houston fashion, you know, didn't bring Death Guard, but everything was Mark and Nurgle.
We're qualified for the name of the Plague Father.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at this list again. I'm just, it's so crazy. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Speaking of lists that nobody ever thought we would see again, we probably should give a shout out to Mr. Jack Harpster with the Warlock Seer Council Rides Again Eldar list.
Wow, the last charge of the Rohirrim.
Let's count them up, Alex.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Dude, I'm having PTSD flashbacks to like 7th edition. These things were a blender unit.
Sorry, we missed, guys. Hang on, guys. Sorry, we missed another one. There's a 9th.
Watch out. Let's keep on going.
If we keep scrolling, we might find more. But no, the biggest thing that we're talking about with this list is that it wasn't Eldar Flyer Spam. He actually went back into the sands of time to bring 10 Wind Rider jet bikes.
The scattered list.
Seriously.
No, it was the Field Bad Z list of 7th edition. You know?
I mean, from the long past returned to haunt the tables of 40K once again.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. Okay, hold on. You spoke a little too soon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It wasn't, quote unquote, flyer spam, but it had three flyers in it.
But three is a low number for an Eldar list.
That was the max unit of Crimson Hunters.
He maxed out his Crimson Hunter allocation.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Except for the Rangers.
Everything was fly keyword, but.
Well, except the Rangers. Which, I mean, he did bring 30.
That's true.
I mean, he brought bring battalions of Eldar, which, you know.
Well, you know, this game is.
No, I was just going to say, I like the synergy in this list. The Windriders are fantastic. Scatterladers are still super efficient. As you said, strength 5, strength 6 in this game now means that you're just wounding everything on 5s at worst case scenario. Buck ton of shots. And also, Warlock Skyrunner. The Warlock powers are some of the best in the game still. And the ability to dual flip, to do positive reinforcement in terms of the psychic powers towards your own unit and negative debuffs towards your opponent means that it's just like a ton of psychic powers coming at you. It's just like, it's not, he owns the psychic craze with this.
No, really, you think? It's only, hang on, let's count about one. I count two Farseers plus the 10 Warlock Skyrunners. So, yeah, I think you could say he probably had the advantage in the psychic phase.
Yeah, I would say. I would hope so. Oh, I mean, my God. This is
a throwback. Like, this is a very, very... This is a list probably not a lot of people have prepared for anymore. I think it'd be the easy way to say it. Like, you... Yeah. Who expects to see the Warlock Conclave again? With the Windblade, I'm pretty sure still wound everything on twos. Like, just in case you have to throw the Warlocks into combat and go, hey, guys, good luck, but I only need you to live one turn.
Yeah, no, and plus packing the Windrider host, which is very efficient, all the shooting, Crimson Hunters are excellent. This is a phenomenal list. It's a bit old school, like we've mentioned, but it gives us PTSD for a reason. It's brutal. Nowhere ends if about.
Yeah, none of us ever want to see this. This list is gone for a reason, and we're all of us are glad we didn't fix it. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah.
Next up, another gentleman whose name I am not familiar with, but shall we say the new face of Tau?
Don't tell Paul.
Well, Paul doesn't care anymore.
Oh, yeah, he played in the Sunday RTT. He almost won it.
We're looking at Cadre Fireblade, Shadow Sun, Ethereal in a Tau Sept Battalion, along with triple fire warrior squads. Then another Fireblade and another. Looks like a regular commander, just a ATS triple cyclone cyclic ion blaster. Oh, wow. I have to say that was required. Then a couple of Pathfinder teams that, you know, of course, with so many Wyverns running around, you don't see a lot of Pathfinders anymore. I mean, you know, it's finally somebody realizes that you probably need some marker lights in a Tau list.
Oh, God.
Like, instead of just going, hey, everyone, hold all my drones.
He still has plenty of drones. You gotta give him back.
Yeah, but he credit. Doesn't. You know, it's not the big gun drone squadrons like we were kind of expecting.
Yeah, get fucked. I had a bunch of shots, and I will get fucked right back. I don't feel no pain.
And of course, let's double check. I believe everything is Tau Sept. So this guy did apparently learn the lesson from listening to Paul about drones only intercepting for same Sept units. And then, of course, because we all want to play Gundam in real life, the triple rip. With Darkstrider, because, you know, I wasn't good enough already.
Yeah, definitely not.
Free ATS. ATS is good.
Yeah, Darkstrider is really great in the campaign combination with this.
Yeah.
It's fun to see it. You know, you got plenty of marker lights. You got plenty of shooting. Jettison's super helpful on this list. The double carry on throughout the game. Very good.
And I mean, it's attachment Tau, meaning that he's definitely not running short of command points until probably, you know, turn 3 or 4, depending on how he spends them.
As per usual,
they probably went really quick.
Well, you can't have a Riptide without ATS, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just kind of, because we all wish that we had heavy burst cannons with -2 rend.
We all wish that we had a cheap upgrade to get +1 AP.
That would be great. Yeah, although I think there's a that guard aren't allowed to have that.
60 IG with AP1 fucking las guns.
I mean, I was just thinking about a Wyvern with -1 rend. hey, are you infantry anywhere in the game? Not anymore, you're not. It's like, hey, dude, did you bring infantry of toughness lower than 5? Yeah, let me go ahead and help you put those away faster.
Oh, my Lord.
Like fire warriors, anything Eldar, other guard, yeah, delete. See, let's take a look at one of the other top 8. We're running through the list here, Mr. Oh, you know what? We mentioned him earlier. Let's look at Junior's list.
Yeah.
Junior, I wouldn't say it's a fledged. I don't want to. I hope the gentleman will forgive me. Looking at a combined guard and knight list, gallant, valiant, warden.
Oh, wow.
Along with an artillery company and just a regular battalion.
Let's slow our roll, shall we? A knight valiant?
Yeah,
that is one that you don't see. Now, you know, unlike the castellan, it didn't go up in points. And from the get-go, right out the gate, everyone said, don't take it. It's a bad choice. Yep. So just like Jeff, here's a perfect example of a list that brought at least one unit that either people overlooked or people outright said wasn't good. And they're proving them wrong by throwing in a little bit of a, what we might even dare we call it a meta buster in here with its...
I think a knight value qualifies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And being able to have the shield breaker, the double shield breaker cannon... than just the extra missile.
He's also packing the Traitor's Fire, which is a super good, there's Ultra Flamer, which I believe reroll wounds.
I just wanted to look at that because I saw it and didn't recognize it. Oh, dear God.
Yeah,
for those who don't know, the Traitor's Fire is an 18-inch heavy 3d6 Flamer. Strength 7, minus 2 AP, damage 2. It automatically hits and you reroll all failed wounds, no matter the target.
Failed wounds, I got it right. Yeah, no, it's super good. So the fact that like it's now cheaper than a gallon by 100 points means that you may see the Valiant come back to life again.
Yeah, that's... You know what that reminds me of? What was that name of the knight of one of the first time anybody saw the really fast knights that had the flamers?
Oh,
Sarassus?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what...
Acheron.
Sarassus Knight Acheron.
That's right. I remember the first time I ran into one of those with guard, and it was literally like, hey, dude, pick up 2 units on your side of the board every turn.
Yep.
You know, one of my first games against the Knight Acheron back then in 8th edition was when I was still running the... I think it's safe to say that it was some fuck shit. The
zombies?
The Lich Star.
Oh, my
The unkillable Lich Star.
God.
And one of my favorite experiences is our good friend Ben Schmoller, plays Custode, a lot of AOS, deals with the main TO for T-Shift, for about 40K and other systems. It is going to be on August 3rd and 4th of this year.
Also candidate for assembly in the great state of Oregon.
Yep. He's our... Our
40K is a resident politician.
He definitely is. That he is. And, I played him at the RTT or the team tournament a few years ago, and he got very close to me, did a lot of damage with his Knight Acheron. He then said, okay, I need my Knight Acheron to charge your Lich Star before I charge it. And he already had a bad turn because one of his drop pods, the whole unit of Stern Guard, and main unit of Stern Guard, fell off the table, and he rolled a 1. Silly mishap and we're gone for good. And he just looks at me and goes, well, that's how this game's gonna go. And then he fails his like 3-inch charge against my Lich Star. And again, he was like, okay.
He's like, I might as well pick up this knight.
You had a lot of war size, but we're not here to talk about the past. I am a 40K competitive has-been, so it's perfectly fine.
He would be back into form in 2 weeks.
Well, we don't need to talk about that right now. That's true.
Schwartz, what is the Endless Fury heirloom?
Endless Fury heirloom. Ooh, that's you caught me off guard. I got to have to look that bad boy up. Give me 30 seconds, please.
I rely on you. You're the man on the inside. I think I can beat you to finding it. The clock is running. No, that's not it. Crap, I can't find it.
Wait, no. I'm finding it.
Oh, I like it when my boys fight over this.
I found it. All right, so it's an Avenger Gatling cannon, obviously.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. You just saw it. So range 36, heavy 14, strength 6, AP minus 2, 2 damage each. Each unmodified six roll of six made with this weapon scores two hits instead of one. At a heavy 14, that is bananas level shooting. Because if you can get hot.
You know, it's funny. I've actually fought against this way too much. My buddy Cameron in Portland, we play all the time, and he's got multiple knights. And, you know, it's really funny. When I was bringing a lot of elite units like destroyers on the table, he would have this, and he would roll hot. So those 14 shots quickly became like 22 shots and two damage each with two rend or two AP crap. Very quickly went, oh, hey, you had that 300-man unit, 300-point unit of destroyers on the table. Do you want me to help you pick them up, basically? It's really good. It's stupid good.
Do you have a bug? Would you like me to say a prayer before I remove them for you?
You know, honestly, it's also really good against things like custodes.
Yes, you know, absolutely. Because they're four
because, wounds. Because it's AP2, you're already making it the best possible save or the worst possible save you can give them, which is a four up, at least for the infantry.
Yep.
And, you know, it's two damage. So, unfortunately, that's actually the weak point it has against custodes because you do need at least two shots to go through one custode, two failed saves. Go through one's custode model, but you know,
as the knight valiant kind of was one of the Cinderellas of the tournament, because as we said, a lot of people had just never seen one before. They were written off right away, and it's nice to see with the update and the removal of knight castellans, probably for a long time from competitive play, something else has stepped up to take their place. Let's have a look at Mr. Carlos Kaiser's list. So a lot of Adeptus Mechanicus in the and oh my god, is this a lot of custodes?
Yeah, the Rusty 17, as people like to call it, has really supplemented the Loyal 32 for the go-to battalion for most people.
I'm counting this correct. I like to believe I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. I'm counting 24 actual custodes plus four characters.
And let's see. Oh my god, that's a ton of Varus Praetors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Am I counting this right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, I know that got. That's fine.
So real quick, folks, we want to interrupt. We are going to have Alex step out, visiting the show from his home in Oregon. Thank you, sir, very much for joining us in studio.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Michael. I'll talk. You know, our listeners will hear my voice in a full episode next week.
Next week. Are you thinking of head out, Schwartz? Now it's just you and me, the style and class section of the program.
Oh, that's beautiful. So looking at his list, I'm just like, this is a crap ton of Vertorius Praetors. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're really good, and they pack a ton of damage in both shooting and close combat, but mother of God, this is a ton of them. For those that don't
know... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to read off their stats very quickly. These are essentially the custode bikes, jet bikes, moving 14, hits on twos, for both close combat and shooting. Strength 5, toughness 6, 4 wounds a pop, the 2 up, 4 up that you know and love. They're all packing the Hurricane Bolters, because why wouldn't you? They're rapid fire 6, so they're going to be 12. It had 12 shots each, half a range. Again, hitting on 2s, rerolling 1s when they're backed up by the characters. So that's going through. And also in close combat, the Interceptor lands is going to be strength 6 plus 1 to their strength of 5, AP minus 3, 3d3 damage each, reroll failed wounds for this weapon when you make a successful charge. So this unit, these units that he's packing, like he's running so many of these bikes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of them.
If you count the shield captains, it's 15 total bikes.
Yeah, and it's just like waves upon Hurricane Bolter, so that he's going to be able to blow away any infantry he runs into. Plus, in close combat, the strength 6, like we've alluded to, you're going to wound everything in the game at 5 at worst. You're rerolling to wound in the turn you've charged, and you're doing a ton of damage. So you're just going to chew through anything in close combat as well. It's oof. it's a painful list. But if those things get caught in the open, they can get blown off because they only have that 4-up invul compared to the characters, which are packing the 3-up.
Yeah. But then, I mean, we should point out that the other 10 custodes in this list, oh, they're Terminators.
And not just Terminators.
Lest we give someone not their full due. The other ten models that aren't characters are Custodes Terminators with the Solarite Power Gauntlets, making them strength 10 minus 4 AP.
Yes, minus 4 AP, D3 damage each, baby. And mind you, they are packing 4 attacks each because, of course, they're Custodes. Toughness 5, 4 wounds a pop, 2-up, 4-up. Oh my god, these things are just like, they're really good in close combat. Yeah, I was speaking to a couple, speaking to several players over this weekend. The Aquilian Custodians have been they're really well worth the price for what they are. Also, their shooting is not bad with the Lazarus Stolen Bolter, Rapid Fire 2, Strength 5, AP minus 1. I mean, it's cute and all. It's just worth 5 points a pop. I'll take that for $1. sorry, that reference is probably going to go over the heads of like all our audience members that are younger than 30.
Dude, if you think 40K fans can't recognize a RoboCop reference, I think you don't have enough faith in our listeners.
That's a valid point. But yeah, it's a good Stormbolter. I mean, at the danger close range that they're dropping in, it's 4 shots each, again, on 2s, because, you know, they're Custodes. Strength 5 minus 1 AP. Again, they're wounding everything in the game on 5s.
Yep.
This is a simple math list where, like, I can wound anything in this game at least is somewhat officially a third of the dice rolls, and I'm just throwing a bucket of dice at you. Good luck.
Pretty much.
I played against Carlos in the past at an LVO 2 years ago. He wasn't obviously running this, but he's a very crafty, very intelligent player. He knows your list as well as you do. So he's going to know all your weaknesses, and he's just going to pick you apart. And this list has all the speed and ability tools to do that.
And I think probably last but not least, let's go ahead and look at the Gene Stealer cult list to make the cut, played by Mr. John Lennon, star of the Beatles.
Welcome back from the dead.
a proper Gene Stealer cult list with, of course, the double patriarch and then an absolute flood of models. I'm looking at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, sorry, 60, 70, 90, 110, 130, 140 plus characters, probably close to, oh my God, almost 200 models in this list.
Well, yeah, this list is designed to hold objectives, and like,
I think that's a very polite way of saying I have more models than you have bullets.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he's playing for time. There's not enough time. There's not enough rounds in a freaking 40K match in a tournament to go through this many bodies. He's also he is packing a Tyranid detachment, 2 Broodlords. Right. Which, you know, which are great.
You could almost argue that's quad. I mean, if you think about it, it's basically quad patriarch.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So he's getting 2 mini mini patriarchs in those 2 broodlords.
Aren't they identical?
Let me pull up the stats to compare them. I beg our audience patience as I look them up right now to compare. Okay, so looking at the Broodlord stats, weapon skill 2+, has no BS. Well, that's a few and far between. Well, doesn't shoot anything. Strength 5, toughness 5, 6 wounds, 6 attacks. Oh, God. Leadership 10, because of course. Monstrous Rending Claws, user strength 5. So there it is, that magic number. AP minus 3, D3 damage each, reroll failed wounds for this weapon. In addition, each time you make a wound roll of 6, that hit resolves on an AP minus 6 and damage free. Oh god, that hurts. Model can run and charge, essentially. And you can add plus 1 to hit in the fight phase for High Fleet Enter. So basically, itself. And the Termagants, not that you need it. Broodlord can manifest 1 psychic power per phase, 5-up invul. Now compare that to the Patriarch. Patriarch. Weapon skill 2, of course. Strength 6, so one higher strength. Toughness 5, the same. 6 wounds, the same. Attacks 6, the same. Monstrous Rending Claws are identical. So he's slightly more. The Patriarch's got one extra strength, but
he's a little beefier. He's a little bit more of a thick boy.
He's a thicker boy. He's a thicker boy. Each one's slightly, only manifest. They're
slightly thicker boy.
Slightly thicker boy. One psychic power, just like him. He can bring a familiar, which the Brood Brother, a Brood Lord, can't do. From run in charge, and also auto pass morale. So yeah, the close combat efficiency is nearly identical, and so he's packing two Brood Lords and saving himself. 40 points in but
he didn't bring a Magus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe he just didn't have the points. I mean, looking at this list though, my god, he's packing a ton of Alkalite hybrids with heavy rock saws, which we know how efficient those are. It's just
he brought one of each of the other support characters without going all the way to a full brigade, so he obviously had the points. He just decided not to bring a Magus.
Well, all the support characters are excellent.
I'm not disagreeing. I just find it interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what does the Magus give you? The Magus just simply gives you fear.
It's the primary caster.
Yeah, but it can only cast one. And so the Brood Lords are doing the same work.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. It has a spiritual leader keyword, the Magus, which I can read right now for our audience. Cult units within 6 of this model, start of your opponent's second phase, can attempt to deny one power manifest within 12 of them. So it gives that extra deny ability. So I can agree with you on that.
Does that mean that every unit within range of him can attempt to deny a power?
In theory, cult units other than psychers within 6 of any friendly Magus models at the start of your opponent's psychic phase can attempt to deny one psychic power within 12 inches. So yes, if any unit within 6 inches of him can deny a power within 12 inches of them, but that's basically an 18-inch bubble. So
I guess he thought he could get. I guess if he was worried about psychic defense, it's what you bring the Brood Lords for.
Yeah. So it's. You pick your poison. The Clamavis, oh my god, Nexus, Sanctus, all these things are really good support characters. Plus he packed, he's saving some points so he can bring 19 hand flamers on his 19-man Acolyte Hybrid squad. That, I wonder what that's designed for. Oh gee, infantry.
Jesus.
Right?
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, I really hope you didn't. Oh, it'd be a shame if your 30-man plague bearer you squad happened to get roasted.
Oh my god, that's still 19 d6 hits.
Yeah, I mean, you're just playing the math on that one. I'm gonna confirm that if it's d6 or d3. I want to say it's d6.
Because I think the difference between a hand flamer and a regular flamer is just strength 3 versus 4.
Yeah, strength 3 and a range 6. So you need to get danger close. But yeah, That's what these things are designed for. Yeah, pistol D6 automatically hits the target.
Jesus, pistol D6?
Yeah, pistol D6.
You do, dude, that means that if you charge, you can use that instead of their regular close combat attacks.
That's hilarious. Yeah, dude. Can you? Okay, let's do some average dice math here for our audience. So on average dice rolls, he's going to be generating around 66 hits.
Oh, holy god!
Yeah, because he's rolling 19 of them. The average one's going to be 3 or 4s each one. Yeah. When that unit goes in full flamer, as we call, he's going to be averaging 66-67 hits, and if he gets hot, pardon the pun, If his dice gets hot, the damage potential is just ridiculous. You're talking about 80, 90 hits. I wouldn't be surprised if he can. Yeah. So again, strength three. So you got to pick your spots. But like when you're throwing that many dice, you're just forcing your opponents to make that many saves. It'll delete a unit. Or at least you got to pick your right spots. Obviously, I wouldn't throw it at a fucking knight. But anything that's toughness 4, toughness 5, yeah, good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
That'll get roasted off. It's so good. But you got to get danger close. You got to get danger close combat. You got to get within 6 inches. Most of these units are excellent in close combat, excellent in short-range firefights. The heavy rock stars are disgusting. Aberrants are amazing. But with the exception of the aberrants, everything else dies to a fucking stiff breeze. You got to be very careful with them because if they get out in the open, they will get blasted off the board before they can do anything. But, I mean, that's...
Well, we're running right up. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, but the mechanics of the Gene Stealer Cult allows you to get danger close very quickly compared to other armies.
Yeah. And I mean, just by looking at kind of the list we've gone over, this is the breakdown for those who don't realize how much effect the FAQ had. We're looking at one Eldar list, one Chaos Marine list, one Chaos Soup list, two Imperium Soup list with Custodes, one Gene Stealer Cult list, one Imperial Knight and Guard list, and one Tau list. There were no Orcs, no Guard Tank Commanders, no Guard Artillery spam, no Guard Mortar spam, and no Heavy Eldar Flyer lists.
Yeah, and not a single Castellan.
A single Castellan as far as the eye can see. I mean, this is what you want from... This is what we all kind of wanted every time we get a rules update. And a fact is we want to see the game change. We want to see the environment evolve to the next level. The way I understand it, it was a great event with not a whole, no real controversies to speak of. And we got some pretty good list diversity in the championship arena, which I don't think we can ask for anything more.
You couldn't ask for anything more. I love the diversity. You have a ton of things to play with here and like excellent players all around. So congratulations to all the winners. Congratulations to Jeff again for getting the BAO, the Belt of Rust.
The Belt of Rust, the legendary Belt of Rust.
Legendary belt. And congratulations to everyone. Awesome weekend.
So guys, next week we are looking forward to inviting on Mr. Tony Myers of Hammerhead Games. Thank you very much for joining us. Please do pay attention to our Facebook page for updates and poll questions. Have a good night, man.
Have a good night. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you all for listening so much.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.